Hello and welcome to Gin and Spooks. I'm Laura.
I'm Emma.
And what are we talking about today, Emma?
Cannibal.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. for some reason, we're both very excited about this episode. I'm not sure what that says about us, but you know. And what are you drinking today, Emma?
Pre-made strawberry daiquiri in a can. It's very nice. It's very sweet. And yeah. Can't afford anything else.
No. Well, I'm drinking raspberry flavoured White Claw hard seltzer because I've heard loads of stuff about it on the internet and never actually seen it in UK shops before. So I thought I'd try it. And it does literally just taste like raspberry sparkling water, which is fantastic, in my opinion. We were going to try and coordinate cocktails tonight, weren't we? But our local supermarkets did not provide. Yeah, pretty much.
I was walking down the aisle and I was like, oh, I see some, pre-made gin and lemonades, you know, gin and tonics. And I was like, oh, cocktails might be around here. Looked and I was like, strawberry daiquiri. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, mine was just pre-made gin and tonics and then espresso martini. And I was like, ugh, no. And then I found that White Claw.
Yeah, I don't have espresso martini. I think your heart would end up having like... palpitations.
I mean, I don't like coffee anyway, so no.
Oh, that's a bonus then.
Yeah,
you would have definitely hated it.
Yeah, definitely. So did you want to kick us off with some incredible, gruesome, cannibalistic facts?
Yes, well, I've got some definitions and history about cannibalism or cannibals, so yeah. I will start with that one, so hopefully I don't bore everyone.
We love the facts.
I'm going to try and make a conscious effort not to say words wrong, but we'll see how that goes.
We say that every week, but...
I look at words as if I've, like, just learnt how to read, like, 5 minutes ago, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that word is. So we'll see how it goes. Anyway, human cannibalism is the act or practice of humans eating the flesh or internal organs of other human beings. A person who practiced cannibalism is called a cannibal, and the meaning of cannibalism has extended into zoology, all or part of another individual of the same species as food, including sexual cannibalism.
Mm.
Yum.
Oops.
So, sexual cannibalism is when a female cannibalizes her mate prior to or after copulation. It is a trait observed in many arachnid orders and several insect orders. There were several hypotheses to explain this seemingly paradoxical behavior. Oh my god, maybe I shouldn't have had them two gins. Okay. Whew. The adaptive foraging hypothesis, the aggressive spillover hypothesis, and mistaken identity hypothesis are among the preferred to explain sexual cannibalism. This behavior is believed to have evolved as a manifestation of sexual conflicts occurring when the reproductive interests of males and females differ. In many species that exhibit sexual cannibalism, the female consumes the male upon detection. Females of cannibalistic species are genuinely hostile and unwilling to mate. Thus, many males of these species have developed adaptive behaviors to counteract female aggression. So the island... Oh, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, so species that do sexual cannibalism is stuff like, doesn't the black widow spider, black widow spider just kills their partner, don't they,
no,
rather than eating them?
They eat them.
They do eat them, cool. And then,
they're like the most famous for like eating
after
they've had sex. Hanky-panky.
Yeah, got to refuel.
yeah.
And what are they called? Praying mantises, don't they do it too?
Yeah, they need a snacky snack. After they've done the hanky pank.
Hanky pank little snack.
I am a mature 25-year-old. I'm not laughing at the sentence I've just said. So, the island Carib people of the Lesser Antilles, this is where I start not being able to pronounce words, from whom the word cannibalism is derived, acquired a long-standing reputation as cannibals after their legends were recorded in the 17th century. Some controversy exists over the accuracy of these legends and the prevalence of actual cannibalism in the culture. Cannibalism was practiced in New Guinea and in parts of the Solomon Islands. and flesh markets existed in some parts of Melanesia. Fiji was once known as the Cannibal Isles. Cannibalism has been well documented in much of the world, including Fiji, the Amazon basin, the Congo, and the Maori people of New Zealand. The Nian.
I'm sorry, who made me an expert in all these people and places? Why I'm keep correcting?
I don't know,
you.
But you're really helping me. Because I'm reading them how I think it would be said, and then yeah. I was like, oh, that's wrong. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So Neanderthals are believed to have practiced cannibalism, and Neanderthals may have been eaten by anatomically modern humans. Ooh. Cannibalism was also practiced in ancient Egypt, Roman Egypt, and during famines in Egypt, such as the Great Famine of 1199 to 1202. In some societies, cannibalism is a cultural norm. Consumption of a person from within the same community is called endocannibalism. Ritual cannibalism of the recently deceased can be a part of the grieving process, or can be seen as a way of guiding the souls of the dead into the bodies of living descendants. Exocannibalism is the consumption of a person from outside the community, usually as a celebration of victory against a rival tribe. Both types of cannibalism can also be fueled by the belief that eating a person's flesh or internal organs will endow the cannibal with some of the characteristics of the deceased.
I really like Emma's eyes, so I'm going to eat them to make me have those characteristics.
Oh, that was so creepy.
I'm so sorry. No, I don't think I could ever do that.
That is pretty much it on what I've got on the history, and well, not the history per se, but you know, the different ones. So you're more than welcome to go on your bit, and then I can end with some facts.
So back to Papua New Guinea, as you mentioned before. So Kuru is an incredibly rare disease caused by an infectious protein found in contaminated human brain tissue. It is incurable and fatal. So it used to be found amongst people from Papua New Guinea who practiced a form of endocannibalism where they ate the brains of their family members after they died as part of the funeral ritual. So exactly what you've just said, as part of their culture, it's a way of respecting the dead. This disease was largely localized in the four people from Papua New Guinea and anyone who married into the group. The cooking and eating body parts of their family members was to symbolize respect and mourning. The disease mostly affected women and children, as they were the ones who ate the brain more often than the men, who mostly consumed the muscles. The epidemic likely started when a villager developed Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and died. When the villagers then ate the brain, they contracted the disease and then died, and then people ate their brains and contracted the disease and then died. Just, that's how shit spreads though, isn't it? So Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is a fatal degenerative brain disorder. Approximately 70% of people who get it die within a year of diagnosis. It involves stuff like memory problems, behavioural changes, poor coordination, dementia, weakness, etc. So the symptoms of Kuru, there's an incubation period of 10 to 50 years. So you could just be living with it for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden get it. Yeah. So it's a disease of the nervous system, and it starts off like, it gradually gets worse and worse and worse. You start off with like tremors, getting a little bit unsteady on your feet, a little bit of a loss of coordination and no control of your muscle movements. Then you become like, you get difficulty pronouncing words. Then you become incapable of walking. Then you can't even sit without support, and you have emotional instability or depression. Then you become incontinent, and then you can't speak, and you become unresponsive, like gradually over the time. And then like you get chronic ulcerated wounds on your body, which are easily infected. And like I said before, there's no cure. And literally the only cause of that is from eating a contaminated human brain. Gross. I have a feeling though that there's a lot less of this disease now because the four people have stopped cannibalism. So
that's good.
yeah. I think. I can't quite remember, but I think. But obviously because like the incubation period is 10 to 50 years, there could be someone that's eaten a brain 40 years ago that still could like it's got a long lifespan. I don't know if you see what I mean.
Wow. That's mental. It could be, yeah. Well, obviously, like someone could be walking around like minding their own fucking business, but secretly they've eaten a contaminated brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then shit.
Yeah. So should I move on to my big long story?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Well, so I have to do a little shout out to my friend Jodie, because she actually suggested this guy, and it was a very good suggestion, Jodie. So thank you. So I was going to do like once upon a time in Germany.
You should definitely do that. And then I was like, fairy tale.
Okay. Once upon a time in Germany, a guy called Armin Meiwes was born, probably killing the pronunciation there, but you know, you can't have a Gin and Spooks episode without someone completely slaughtering the pronunciation or something, can you? So there you go. Okay. Yeah. So Armin Meiwes was born on the 1st of December 1961. He was the youngest of his mother's three sons. His two older brothers were from her previous relationship. His mother was 40 when she had Armin, and he was his dad's first child. Rumor has it there was like a huge age gap between the mum and the father, so it's thought that she got pregnant deliberately to keep her husband, because she was a bit like jealous. So they lived in a huge house in Wusterfeld in West Germany. So growing up, his father was a stern man and completely disinterested in Armin, like he just didn't give a shit. He left when Armin was 8 and never saw him again. His older brothers were quite a bit older than Armin because they were from his mum's first marriage. So they also left before the father. So that left Armin on his own with his mother. She seemed to have a hatred of men and was very easily jealous. She made him do all the chores, the shopping, as well as taking care of her. She wouldn't let him go anywhere on his own, and she was very controlling and verbally abusive. And on the documentary, they say that in public, she actually called him, it wasn't Munchkin, but it was something that sounded like that, which is essentially like a girl, it's a term of reference for a girl, and she was verbally abusing her boy using that phrase. I wish I could remember it. I don't know why I don't write more stuff down. Anyway, so after his dad left, Armin says he was absolutely devastated. He felt incredibly alone and broken/abandoned. At age 10, he read the book Robinson Crusoe, and this awoke his fascination with cannibalism. I've not actually read Robinson Crusoe, but I think there's when I was looking into it, there's a part in there where Robinson Crusoe saves Man Friday from being eaten by cannibals. And then from that, him and Man Friday become like best buds. So that was the bit that he was obsessed with. I guess he was just desperate for a friend because he was on his own, and he linked friendship and cannibalism somehow. Well,
how are you?
No, he felt that eating someone was a way of keeping them close to him, a way of having them with him permanently. He was very interested in the local butchers and would spend a lot of time watching them do their thing. At age 19, in January 1981, he joined the army as he wanted to make a career for himself. This was the time in his life where he felt the most normal and comfortable. He was surrounded by men, part of a team. It stimulated his mind and imagination enough to stop him from feeling the need to pursue his cannibalistic ideas any further. Essentially, it was a good distraction.
Yep.
So around this time, he had loads of friendships with women, but they never led to any relationships. He asked his friend if he was gay, because Armin wasn't sure. As in, Armin asked his friend if Armin was gay, like he, yeah. Do you see what I'm saying?
He didn't, like, what?
Yeah.
No, I was like, I get it. So he asked his friend if his friend thought he was gay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
Yeah. His friend replied saying that it's not something he could say. Armin would have to work it out for himself. Which, you know, fair enough. In 1993, at age 32, he left the army after 12 years of service. A bout of alcoholism caused him to crash and lose his license multiple times. This ruined his chances of a long-term career in the armed forces. So instead, he became a computer engineer for some sort of bank. And then at night, like after work, he would then be a full-time carer for his mum, because she's getting quite old at this point. Due to the commercialization of the internet in the mid-90s, he was now able to communicate with the outside world, because before he'd just been like trapped at home with his mum. Now he could talk to everyone without leaving the house, and that's what we all do nowadays. Back then, there wasn't as much policing of the internet as there is today, and he soon realized that he wasn't alone in his cannibalistic interests. His fantasy starts to become a reality at this point. He started building his own websites and message boards, and built up his own community. He even had a website called The Cannibal Cafe. It's not around anymore.
I fucking love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, The Cannibal Cafe. Did you ever used to go on message boards when you were a kid, like at secondary school?
No, I just spent a lot of time on MSN.
Yeah, I miss MSN.
All my devoted spare time was on MSN.
Same. I've never had an embarrassing MSN email address, though, because I've had the same one since I was 14, and it's just Laura Gordon, so it's fine. But like, loads of my friends had like cheeky_monkey@hotmail.com and stuff like that.
Mine's just normal. Mine's just EJ-Lewis.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nothing fancy. So. Cheeky_monkey.
I know. And I'm sure one of my friends was the Darkness 666 as well. Oh, I know. Oh, I miss MSN. Anyway. Okay. So on his website, The Cannibal Cafe, he used to spend time doctoring images to look like butchered young men. So he'd use things like animal meat and marzipan to mold what looks like a human body. And then he would like chop it up to make it look like, you know,
I
what?
I love it. Creativity at its finest.
I know, right? So because of this, he gained a lot of popularity in the cannibal community. On the 2nd of September, 1999, his mother dies of a heart attack. And at this point, when I was watching one of the videos, I was like, he's not going to eat his fucking mother, is he? And I'm sorry to disappoint you all, he does not eat his mother.
Oh, why, God? Why? I was like, go on, tell me the juicy details.
He buries his mother. But now he's got this whole huge house to himself and a newfound freedom to follow his obsession. This is such a cheesy line. The gap between his fantasy and reality can finally be bridged. In the year 2000, I'd just like to point out, I am reading this from my own notes. Like, I'm not printed this off anywhere. That's actually what I've written. I'm not sure.
It's very methodical.
I know. So, in the year 2000, he started advertising on various cannibal websites looking for a victim. And he wanted a handsome young man between the ages of 18 to 25, pleasant and physically appealing, but not too muscly, must be willing to die. He didn't really get any applicants at first, so he had to up the age range to 30.
Must be willing to die. I volunteer as tribute.
So a guy called Jorg Bursa offered himself up as a victim. It's thought that Jorg saw it all as a bit of a game and didn't quite realise just how serious Armin was. So I think Jorg actually turned up at Armin's house and then changed his mind at the very last minute, as in lies down on the chopping block and then is like, hang on, you're actually going to do this? Nah. But because he changed his mind at the last minute, this was a complete turn off for Armin, and he let him go. So this Jorg guy is so lucky. But yeah.
Wow.
So Armin went back to creating corpses. This time he's moved on from marzipan and animal meat. He started using paper mache and mannequins for his gory photos to post. He wanted to show his potential victims what he was capable of. Apparently these images as well, like, people genuinely thought they were of humans' flesh. So Bernd Brandes was 33 years old when he contacted Armin, volunteering to be eaten. Bit out of his age range at 33, but, you know, I think it was the only volunteer he'd had. So Brandes was married, but it's thought that he was troubled about his sexuality. They discussed, over email, they discussed the methods, what was going to happen during, and what was going to happen with Brandes's remains. Brandes even suggested using his skull as an ashtray. His stipulation was that he wanted his penis to be cut off first so they could both eat it together. He thought that would be the ultimate thrill. Honestly, I wish people could see your face right now.
Oh my God.
You know the emoji where that looks like the screen where he's got his hands on his face and an open mouth? That's pretty much Emma's reaction right now.
No.
Yeah.
That poor penis.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that's what they discussed.
Would you not be in so much pain because your penis has been chopped off and then you're trying to eat it? Like, how would you physically be able to stomach that?
Yeah. Well, I think Brandes was quite severely mentally ill. He's volunteered to die and be eaten as long as they chop his dick off first. Again, I think that goes back to the confused about his sexuality as well, because he wanted his dick gone.
So maybe in one way or another, he could have been transgender.
Yeah.
And at that time, nowhere was accepting of transgender people, let alone gay people, but still.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
I'm a bit shocked. That's what I'm like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't even like, so that's just what they've been discussing. So.
Okay. I'm ready.
On the 9th of March, 2001, Brandes bought a one-way train ticket to see Armin. He told his wife that he was going on a business trip and deleted all evidence from his computer. He gets, Armin actually picks him up from the train station as well. And he gets to Armin's house and Armin makes Brandes a cup of coffee, walks into the living room, and as he's been making the coffee, Brandes has completely stripped naked and tells Armin to admire his dinner. Definitely sexual connotations there, as well as the cannibal connotations.
My free course meal, baby.
I'm trying to think of some sort of like body positivity slogan, like, I am as proud as my body being someone's dinner as Brandes was for Armin. I don't know. That's gross. I'm going to move on. So, I think together Brandes and Armin bought like a shit ton of sleeping pills and cough medicine and stuff for Brandes to take so that he was like half awake when it was happening and a bit numbed to the pain and stuff.
Just give him some cocaine or something. Give him the good shit.
No. So, Brandes takes a bunch of these sleeping pills and cough medicine to make him drowsy and to help with the pain. However, Armin was videoing everything on his camera, and the video shows that when Brandes' dick was chopped off, he screamed for a full 2 minutes because of the pain. I'm not sure if it's toxicology reports or whatever, but they believe that he was barely intoxicated at all during the chopping.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't have a penis, but that somehow hurts. It's
hurting, yeah. Yep. So I think, I'm saying I think a lot, but I read a lot of different shit. So I think they tried to eat it raw, but it was a bit chewy. So Armin fried the penis for them both to eat with a little bit of seasoning on. However, it didn't taste as good as they expected, so they were both disappointed. But you know when you big something up so much in your head that it's then disappointing?
Yeah, I've bigged up so many times wanting to eat fried penis, mm-hmm. and it's just not been to... No. You know, it's not been satisfactory. I understand.
No. Okay. So, in the meantime, Brandes is slowly dying of blood loss from his amputated dick. Armin places him in the bathtub because it's a lot easier to clean up, and fills it with warm water, which they thought would speed up his death. So it took him ages to die. Well, I say it took him ages to die, like, Armin was waiting in the next room reading a Star Trek book whilst Brandes was dying in the bath. After 2 hours, he tries to get up out of the bathtub and kind of collapses on the floor. So Armin puts him into a comfier room. And then, well, apparently he died at 5 a.m. the next morning.
Holy fucking shit.
So the master butcher, Armin, then stabs Brandes in the throat twice and gets to work on the body. It says some sources say that he's pulverized all the bones apart from the skull. And some sources say that bones were found buried on the property. So I'm not 100% sure if he just killed someone else and didn't, no one knows about it, or if it was just, he just buried the bones. But anyway, he pulverizes all the bones but the skull. His first taste of human flesh is a fillet steak with a pepper sauce. And he is also thought to have made meatballs from mincing the meat. He made it into a big event. You know, he'd been looking forward to this since he was 10 years old. At this point, he's in his 30s. He chopped the rest of the body into chunks and put it in his freezer, carefully packaged. So this was in March, and by June, he wants another victim. He has got a lot of Brando's left in the freezer, but he's getting tired of wanking to the video of the whole event, and he wants another event. So he starts advertising for another victim, using the photos of Brando's death to, again, like, put on all his websites. And he is the hero of these online forums. He's idolized by the community, and he absolutely loves it. Because bear in mind, like, I know I'm not saying his childhood completely forgives any of this, but I think it does definitely explain some of it, because he barely got any loving attention as a kid. And now, by doing this cannibalism, he's getting all this loving attention, so it kind of makes him want to continue. One day, a medical student was just browsing the interweb. Not being funny, though, how does just a harmless student get onto a cannibal site? I do not know. However,
They definitely don't.
I think they were a medical student, which kind of explains something, but still, no. Anyway, a medical student saw what Armin was posting online and became suspicious, as it all looked too real. Some of it was. He then emailed Armin, who was all too eager to brag about what he'd been doing. The student then reported him to the police, who gained a warrant to search the property in November 2002. They found the meat in the freezer and sent it off for testing. They brought Armin in for questioning, but he was then released because they didn't have enough evidence, because they didn't have the results back from the lab, because this was the early 2000s. I don't think things were quite as instant as they are now.
Yeah.
However, in the meantime, after being released, Armin took himself to a lawyer and confessed everything, like everything. The lawyer then took him to a judge, and the judge said, just go home and wait for the police to arrive again. He knew what he had done wasn't right, so he didn't deny anything. So then once the samples of the meat came back as human and a more extensive search of the property came up with the video of the whole thing, he was arrested. They found 35 bags of frozen human meat, and apparently he ate about one third of Brando's.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're almost at the end, don't worry.
Carefully packaged with love.
Yeah. Imagine your husband goes away on a supposed business trip. And then just disappears. And you're looking for him everywhere. The police are showing up, no leads. And he's deleted everything on his computer because he doesn't want any evidence. And then you get told that he has been found chopped up in someone's freezer.
I think I'll throw up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from the news. I'll be like, nope.
Absolutely. Apparently, during the trial, he was came across very articulate and well-spoken, like he was playing up to the cameras and really narcissistic and proud of what he had done. But he knew he'd done wrong, but he didn't think he'd done that much wrong, because Brando's had agreed to be killed. So he was I think that's why he was proud of it, because he was like, I haven't actually murdered anyone. This guy wanted to be killed, so that's not my fault.
Yeah.
So he was initially sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for manslaughter in January 2004, because cannibalism is legal in Germany, and technically Brando's had agreed to be killed. So if you kill someone when they've agreed to be killed in America, it still counts as murder, like that is full on illegal. But in Germany, I think you only get I think it was like 3 to 5 years or something for illegal euthanasia. So like if someone wants you to kill them. So he got 8.5 years for the illegal euthanasia and also disturbing the peace of the dead. However, there was a retrial, and some of my sources said that Armin himself appealed for a retrial because he thought it was too harsh, his 8.5 years in prison, because he hadn't done anything wrong. However, other sources like Wikipedia say that the court ordered it because to sentence someone for murder, they have to have a motive. So they couldn't find a motive before, which is why it ended up being manslaughter as well as all the technically. However, during the retrial, the court says that sexual gratification counts as a motive for murder. And the video completely shows that it was for sexual gratification. The video also shows that Brando's was still breathing when Armin started butchering him. So you know how it...
No! Yeah.
So Armin originally said that Brandes was dead from the blood loss by the time he started chopping him up.
Yeah. But
that hence why he stabbed him in the neck twice, was to actually like finish him off so he could then start taking the meat. Psychologists believe that Armin was still fantasizing about devouring the flesh of young people during the trial. So that's another argument for them to keep him in prison for longer than like 8.5 years. It was also thought that as Brandes was clearly mentally unwell and drugged up during the whole scenario, he was particularly vulnerable and wasn't able to make his own decisions. So on that basis, Armin was sentenced to life imprisonment for murder and again disturbing the peace of the dead for the chopping up and stuff. So he's still alive in prison today, and he's a vegetarian.
Oh my god,
that's my favorite part of the story, like the end line, like
I'm a vegetarian.
Vegetarian now.
That's amazing.
But yeah, essentially they're saying like Brandes was far too vulnerable to be considered making a well and justified decision of I want you to kill me, because anyone that says that volunteers themselves to be killed and eaten, it clearly is mentally unwell. Like
yeah, I kind of agree with that.
And the drugs and alcohol, you can't give full consent to something if you're under the influence of that much drug and cough medicine or whatever else he had in his system.
Well, the only way about that, to be honest, was if you like, you know, typed up a contract that you signed, which obviously I'm giving people ideas now, which obviously, you know, kind of exempts you in certain cases, but obviously you would still go down because cannibalism is not okay. And no. The fact that he was still breathing.
Yeah, that's what they put. I think the courts in the end put a lot of emphasis on that. It's like, well, you've been telling us that Brandes was dead by the time that you started chopping him up and eating him. But this video shows that he was still breathing. And why would you stab him in the neck before chopping him up if he wasn't still alive? They got him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think putting myself in his shoes, if I was to eat his penis, I would have at least cauterized a wound.
And no,
killed him in a more, as ethically as I could.
Yeah, that's not what they discussed though, so.
Yeah, well.
It's fucked up.
Well, I wasn't expecting any of that. I was like, oh yeah, I know some of this story. And then when you said about the penis bit, I was like, I obviously don't know this story.
Yeah.
And I was like, my whole body just started hurting. I was like, no.
I think the first time I heard it, I was a bit like, oh, but now because I've done so much research on it, I've become a bit desensitized and I'm like, yeah, we chopped his dick off. Yeah.
You do though, don't you? You like read these things and like people actually did this. Like I understand if like, you know, you've been raised up to believe that if you're eating a dead person, it's to help with the grieving, etc. That's okay. It's still not okay, but it's
part of the culture. Like everyone's done it for years. Like we all put Christmas tree up. That's part of our culture.
Yeah.
Like same completely.
Christmas tree was not the first thought that I had.
That's in my the head. First tradition that came to my head then.
But yes, I completely agree. And then obviously this guy is just, if he hadn't videoed it, I think he would have gotten away with less time.
Yeah. Well, they didn't find the video initially in the first search. They just found bodies. They just found these bags of unexplained meat in the freezer, which is why they initially arrested him and then released him, because they didn't have anything other than this unknown meat. But then obviously they found the video and they went again after it came back that it was human and he confessed. He's really confused me because he seems so proud of everything that he's done, like so proud of the whole cannibal thing and his methods and stuff. But then at the same time, he's confessing because he knows he's done a bad thing. But then he doesn't actually think he's done a bad thing because the guy was willing to die. I don't know. I don't know if he wanted to just clear his conscience a bit, like he was fed up of keeping a secret to the authorities, because he wasn't keeping a secret on his forum. He was keeping it to a secret to some extent because the images were a bit open to interpretation.
Well, maybe he just wanted to like brag about it and just I did this, blah blah blah, and because obviously he got like the attention that he's obviously been craving for so long.
Yeah,
that he thought he was going to get it from the police of all people.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
that's not the case. Doesn't work like that.
Maybe he had that wanted the massive thrill of I've done this horrendous thing and I've been taken to court for it and I've got away with it despite going through the court system, but that didn't work. He's in there for life.
And the fact this is a vegetarian is
just, I know, it just makes it, doesn't it? But apparently he reckons there's over 800 cannibals in Germany alone. So if I ever go to Germany, I'm going to take, I don't know, a rape whistle with me so that if anyone tries to kidnap me to eat me, they can find me. Your laughter was really silent then. So I'm going to listen to this back and I'm going to be like, wow, that bombed.
You're just going to... Just gonna wait a little bit and then you can like hear me like a I don't know why I found that funny, like that's not a funny matter at all.
I'm not gonna lie, if someone kidnaps me and tries to eat me, I don't think a rape whistle like is gonna help. Again, yeah, that was the first.
I'd like a cannibal horn or something, like honk the horn.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Jesus.
I'm not going to go to Germany until I get the COVID vaccine, because then at least I'll be microchipped, so Bill Gates will know where I am if I get a kidnapped.
Oh my god, stop.
Anyway, wow. Shall we move on?
Is anyone triggered by that? Well, thank you for that story.
You're very welcome.
I do have a little story of my own. It's not a very long story. It's only like a paragraph, but... I found this really funny, yeah. And you're going to understand why we say it at the end. So, November 14th in 2009, three homeless men in Russia were arrested for killing and eating the parts of a 25-year-old male victim.
Oh.
The remaining body parts were then sold to a local pie and kebab house.
Oh my God. That's so sad though, because these three homeless people must have been desperate, but...
End of story. Sorry, I laughed.
I have so many questions. Mean.
Go on.
Like, okay, so which bits did they sell? Did the kebab shop know that it was human meat? Did the kebab shop put it in their kebabs and pies, like Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett's pies? And how does that found out? Did someone test the meat in the kebab shop and find it out? They must have done.
I don't know, because it didn't say anything other than what I've just told you, which is why I laughed, because I was like, that's such a dramatic turn of events. Like,
I know. That escalates very quickly and then just stops.
The end.
The end.
I figured they would have... I mean, the people that own the pie and kebab house would have been, like, suspicious anyway, because three homeless men are coming in with, like, meats. And the meat wouldn't have been, like, carefully packaged with love, like no. Armin did.
And it would have been, exactly.
I bring you this offering.
Yeah. Like, oh. The kebab shop must have known that it was not any animals. The kebab shop must have known that it was human, surely.
And then I know, like, in Russia it's quite... what's the word I'm looking for? It is very, you know, it's very hard. It's like a hard life living in Russia. Because the government's not particularly amazing. So I can understand the circumstances, I guess. Especially
cold.
Yeah.
Cold, desperate for money, desperate for food. Yeah.
I mean, desperate, I feel awful for laughing at that story.
I know. Because it's quite sad, I just went,
what?
Yeah, so one of the psychologists on the thing I was watching says that obviously there are some tribes where it's part of their culture and stuff, and then in normal society it's very much a taboo subject, like we just don't eat each other. However, there's been like in times of crisis there's so many stories of normal people eating each other, in war there's quite a lot of cannibalism, I think.
It's called survival cannibalism. So. Yeah. Humans are like programmed to not eat other humans because they know it's wrong, and like,
yeah,
obviously we've done it in the past and it's, you know, made us ill.
Yeah,
but when it comes to like being in certain situations, like I don't know, like you're stranded,
yeah,
like somewhere cold or something, and then your friend's dying and that's the only food.
Yeah, source. And there's I'm sure there's a story of a ship that they all ate each other. That's another story for another episode, actually, I reckon.
Yeah, sorry, I was just moving my cat because he keeps touching all the stuff and I'm like, no, don't eat that because that's a fag. Like,
oh, bless him.
Yeah, so we're not meant to do it. We know we're not meant to do it, but now as soon as like our fight or flight instinct like kicks in,
yeah,
we're in a situation where we know we can't fight it and we can't, you know,
yeah,
flee from it. Next best thing is survival cannibalism, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do an episode on survival cannibalism.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be quite good actually.
Yeah,
I do have some interesting facts though.
Go for it.
The average caloric value of body parts.
Oh Christ, gone.
So if anyone's thinking about, you know, eating people, this is how many calories is in certain body parts. So for the torso and head, they contain 5,419 calories. Mm. Now this is based on like an average, I'm assuming based on like an average male.
Yeah.
So
I mean there's a lot more in my torso and head, so it's gonna be more calories than that. But yeah.
Yeah, same here, I think. So the heart clocks in around 651 calories. Mm. Meaty human thighs have 13,355.
Christ.
And the brain, spinal cord, and nerve trunks collectively contain 2,706 calories.
So, which is the heart's the best part to eat then if you're on a diet?
Heart's the best part because it's just like it's just a muscle.
Yeah.
It's full of protein. Why am I advertising for people to like heart?
It's fine. My brain's just going chop it up, put it on a salad, like
drizzle some balsamic vinegar on there.
Some croutons. We're making this salad really unhealthy now.
As I said just before, so humans are mostly hardwired against cannibalism, mm-hmm. but not always. Specifically, eating the brain of another human being can cause Kuru disease. I'm sorry for anyone that's listening to this podcast, if you can hear like ruckus in my background, it's my cat.
Not Shadow this time, it's Toothless.
I know, yeah. He just wants to show up and it really irritates me. Like, I'm trying to be the star of the show.
We should just let them do their own podcast episode one day. The Shadow and Toothless show.
You know what? I think that'd be more famous than
another podcast. Definitely.
Anyway, so obviously we know we're not meant to eat people, but we have done in the past. And this is how we got Kuru.
Yeah.
If most cannibals that have reported the taste of human flesh have said it's similar to pork. And it has like a nice, human meat has a nice nickname in place thanks to the cannibal community, and it's called long pig.
Long pig. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was really cute.
Because like the texture of it, you know, the taste of it after it's been cooked is a lot similar to pork, apparently. So we're very nice with some mashed potato, some oven roasted carrots, and some apple sauce.
Nice. I do love apple sauce.
I've never tried it, and I don't think I want to now.
You're just going to think of humans now. I'm not sure I can have pork chops for a while after this episode.
Yeah. Not a fun time.
No.
So the taste of human flesh depends on a number of factors, such as gender, age. The younger the victim, the more tender the meat is.
I think that's what it's like for... That's why you have lamb, isn't it? Rather than, like, sheep or mutton. Yeah. Mutton's old sheep in it. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah. The part of the body that's being eaten. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, if you've got, like, a very... If you're eating, like, a body of an athletic person, it's going to be quite chewy.
Yeah.
Because there's no fat on it, basically.
Yeah, well, that's why Armin, when in his advert, didn't want anyone too muscly.
Yeah, so, and then also the method of cooking being used. So,
yeah.
If anyone's watched the TV programme Hannibal.
See, I haven't, but when I was in my final year doing my I did a module on psychopaths, and I tweeted out, does watching the film Seven Psychopaths count as research or revision for my module? And then Hannibal tweeted me back saying, why don't you come over for dinner tonight? As in, like, the character from that show. And I think it was just a publicity stunt because that's when Hannibal came out. But I was still like, oh, at the time.
I would have been like, I don't know. I'm really confused.
What are you asking of me?
So practitioners of exocannibalism usually target the following organs: brain, for getting knowledge of their enemies; heart, for getting the power and courage of their enemies; and legs, depending if they're a fast runner, this is important, for getting the speed of their enemies.
Yeah.
So if you're a fast runner, you're not fast enough.
No, yeah, I was going to say, surely they can't catch the fast runners.
There is something called involuntary auto-cannibalism. So almost every human alive today practice this. For example, eating dead skin cells, biting fingernails, etc. This is very benign.
Like pulling the skin off your lip, your dried lips.
Yeah, which I do, so. Yeah.
I literally did that as you were talking about that. I was like, oh.
I read that bit and I was just like, okay. So that's fun. There is a more sinister form of auto-cannibalism. This is known as voluntary auto-cannibalism, and it involves biting off muscles and eating them altogether for body modifications. People may even end up eating their own blood, and which is an act referred to as auto-vampirism, which I thought was really, really interesting. And yeah. I was like, oh boy, we're getting into some good stuff here. Involuntary auto-cannibalism is when someone is being forced to eat their own muscles or body parts.
Oh, that's just hideous.
So medical cannibalism, practiced widely in European nations during the Middle Ages, it meant eating human parts for medical benefits. It was widely believed that human parts were perfect for curing several ailments, such as gout or headaches. So Europeans in the Middle Ages used to think that human fat was capable of successfully treating rheumatism and arthritis. Human fat was capable of healing all wounds. Human blood could treat conditions like epilepsy and other forms of spastic conditions.
Medical practices in the Middle Ages are a wild ride, and we should definitely do an episode on them.
100%. I think they were definitely off their faces on some shit.
Opium.
Yeah. Opium was a good time, apparently, and like up until like after the Victorian age, because most writers were on that shit.
Yep. That's probably why my brain said it, because it's always, they're always smoking opium and stuff. There's opium dens in like Sherlock and that, isn't there?
Well, you have to think as well, like in like middle, like the medieval times, in the Middle Ages, they had witch doctors and, you know, the...
Yeah.
The doctors with the like crow looking mask on and stuff.
Yeah, they're the plague doctors, aren't they? The crow mask, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, if you're wearing a mask looking like that, you're definitely a dodgy person.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun time. Mm-hmm. So female virgins and young men hanged to death were highly sought after. In case of female virgins, the most sought after prize was blood from their body and also their menstrual blood. And young men hanged to death were prized because many men had posthumous erection. So an erection was viewed as strength and virility, which is why the flesh of young men was really popular.
Oh, people were fucked up, aren't they?
I know. Why would you look and go, that's some tasty piece of ass. Nom.
Nom, nom.
And then, I don't know why I said that. So Karen Hyland, a therapist from California, says that cannibalism is highly addictive. Once a person commits cannibalism, his or her brain is flooded with dopamine, which increases the feel-good factor, a similar feeling to snorting cocaine.
Oh, so if you can't get hold of any cocaine, eat someone.
Well, it's shaking my head. I was like, don't say. And that is the end of my interesting facts. I hope everyone learned something today. Do cocaine, kids, not kill people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take drugs. Don't eat people.
Would you rather?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know. There's so many gory questions in my head. However, would you rather be a secret cannibal or addicted to cocaine? Like, which is the worse addiction? Eating human flesh or hardcore drugs?
You go first, because I still need to think of my answer.
This is just me thinking out loud now, because I'm fully against the idea of eating another person. I mean, I've never been to war and dire situation where that would even be a survival opportunity. However, I'm very like, no, gross. However, drugs can completely ruin your life and absolutely ravage your body, can't they? If you get proper addicted, you can get in so much trouble, like with money because they're expensive and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So would I rather be like a somehow, however the hell I could manage it, a moral cannibal where I didn't have to do the killing, but I could live a perfectly normal life. I just had human for dinner, or addicted to drugs. And honestly, the better looking option would be the cannibal thing side of things.
Yeah.
Because that would ruin your life a lot less than drugs, unless you got caught.
Well, if you just watch like loads of episodes of Hannibal and like, you know, research a lot, obviously do it incognito. And I think being a cannibal would be quite easy as long as you're not bragging it on fucking forums and message boards.
Yeah.
And also as long as, you know, you're doing it as like a source of like food rather than you're doing it unethically because you want to kick out of it basically.
Exactly. So are you
sounds like a good Marvel's anti-hero there.
It does, doesn't it? Have you seen that episode of the IT Crowd where Moss goes over to dinner for someone's house and doesn't realise they're a cannibal?
And he's German as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is
I love IT Crowd, but yes, I have seen that episode many times. Yeah. And he's like so confused.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got one. Would you rather be a cannibal eating a person or be the person the cannibal's eating?
Which part of meat are they eating? They've just taken a chunk out of my thigh and that's all they're taking.
They're they're chopping your leg off. They're chopping your leg off and they're gonna cook it in front of you.
Am I drugged?
I don't think that's real.
I don't partially, honestly.
Partially. You're partially drugged.
I actually don't know. Because I don't think I could be the cannibal chopping the leg off and eating it. But then I also really do not want to be partially drugged in someone's living room having my leg chopped off and then eaten. Not too sure I care about what they're doing after they've chopped my leg off. I think that's the least of my concerns at that point. However, I don't want to be the person eating it either. So
I think in this case, I would definitely want to be the person that they're eating, but only if they kill me like outright.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested in any, like, drugs or alcohol or anything like that. Like, I want to be gone. So you can do whatever you want. But I don't think they're enjoying my legs because my legs don't really have any fat on them. You can have my torso. You can have my belly.
Well, my legs have got plenty of fat on. Like, I think I don't know if I'd be too fatty for a cannibal, though, or if I'd be a cannibal's dream.
Could make some nice, like, you know, brisket.
Yeah, put me in a slow cooker.
You never know. Yeah. I don't know why you're so... It brings out the weird in you, doesn't it? Because you're like, oh, we'll just make some brisket.
Yeah.
Homemade barbecue sauce, put you in a slow cooker.
Yeah. Smoke that bitch. Yeah. If you were being eaten, how would you rather be cooked?
So I want to be... Okay, I'm thinking now. I think... I want them to, like, I don't even know if there's, like, a technique to it, but when you cook fillet steak, like, with love, tender loving and care.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bit of TLC. You know, like, put some butter in there.
Yeah.
Some rosemary, some garlic, lots of garlic.
Yes. Just in case vampires turn up and want a bit of the action. No, this is for the cannibal. Vampires,
I mean, they can. The vampires are more than happy to have a bit. No. And you know, have some sweet potato fries on the side.
Yeah.
Some fried mushrooms and a fried half tomato and some rocket. Ooh.
Any sauce?
Either a Diane sauce or a peppercorn sauce. It doesn't matter which one.
I am partial to a blue cheese sauce on my steak. Sometimes when we have steak, though, I don't even make the sauce. I just put some blue cheese in the microwave and put that on top of it all.
Ooh.
Like melt it. Yeah, 10 out of 10 would recommend. I don't know if I'd want to be a steak, though.
Well, steak is like one of my favourite foods apart from noodles. Yeah. You can't really make noodles out of me, so...
I don't know. You get like beef chow mein and chicken chow mein, don't you? So
I know, but...
Or do you want
like... steak's like classy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah,
I want to be a classy meat.
To be fair, I'd rather be a steak than like a bolognese or meatballs or anything.
I know there's like no effort in there unless you do like a proper Italian bolognese sauce.
Yeah.
like a proper ragu sauce.
Yeah, churn me up into mince, take me to Italy, and then I'd be a bolognese. Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to put a disclaimer on this episode because we've talked about some disgusting things.
I really want to know if anybody's going to feel hungry after listening to this episode.
Yeah, actually, because I'm starting to get peckish and I know I've got some crisps and dip downstairs. I'm like,
Same.
Yeah. So what's today's lesson?
Don't answer message boards online. Beware of the internet, basically.
Yeah, stranger danger over the internet. I have learned that technically we're all cannibals because we eat our own skin. And
yeah, people bite their nails, eat their own, like, you know, eat their
for nails. Some reason my brain went that you were gonna say eat their own shit and I was like, what?
I mean, people have done that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's part of, like,
would that count as cannibalism?
I actually don't know, because if you drank your own piss and eat your own shit before.
I have done neither of those things, disclaimer, just want to put that out there.
Same. I'm not in a situation where I need to.
No. Bear Grylls. No,
actually. I think it has to be like a body part.
Yeah, rather than. Yeah, because technically biting your nail, that's part of your body. Whereas like eating your own snot, that's not part of your body, is it? That's just.
I just felt really gross when you went snot.
Snot.
And I was like,
anyway.
Yeah, because like the biggest organ on your body is your skin.
Yeah, and that classes as an organ, but snot and shit do not. Or bogies. Bogies make me like heave so much, like, no, I can't be dealing with bogies.
But I really want to know why we create bogies though.
It's an extra filter, I think. So, like, for example, if someone's, I mean, I might be wrong, but for example, if someone's got hay fever and that makes them really snotty, it's because their nose is kind of creating snot to block things going up into you. Fun fact about the life of Laura, I was born with a runny nose. I was a very, very snotty child, and not snotty in the like posh sense, as in a lot of bogey, so much so that my mum, when she wiped my nose like in the morning, I had really raw skin like between my nose and my mouth just because she had to wipe my nose so much. So when I was 5, I went into hospital and had my adenoids taken out, and they're like an organ in the top of your nose that controls your snot flow, and I was not been that snotty since. However, as an adult, I still get really bad colds and chest infections are not related to my nose, but like I had loads of ear infections growing up and stuff too, and it's all connected. Ears, nose and throat.
Yeah, tonsils, adenoids, and then there's something in your ear and they're all connected.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't have tonsils, so, you know, doing my COVID test the other week was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And it's like, swab your tonsils or where you think your tonsils are if they are removed. And I was like looking in my throat like, where the fuck are they?
where should they be?
I was going to say, so basically today's lesson is we're all cannibals.
Yeah
I mean, we can have two lessons.
Today's lessons are we're all cannibals and the internet is bad.
And very bad.
A very bad.
Bring back
place.
Tumblr.
Tumblr's still around, but I just don't go on anymore.
Yeah, but it's like all censored now, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, there used to be a lot censored. Of porn.
I know, not that I, you know.
Now, yeah, anyway, thank you for listening to tonight's episode on cannibals. We hope you're not too grossed out. Please head to our Instagram, which is at Gin and Spooks, for a photo dump of everything we've talked about today. Give us a cheeky follow and let us know if it made you hungry or not. we also have a blog, which is ginandspooks.wordpress.com. Again, we'll put all the photos from the episode on there so you can see it if you don't have Instagram.
If you have any ghost stories of your own or any drink suggestions, please email them over to us at ginandspooks@gmail.com or send us a message on Instagram, which is at ginandspooks.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.